together, may be glorifying and just praising the Lord for your Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. As you can probably see, we are departing from our series in Philippians just for today. And I've titled today's message for 250 years. For 250 years, as we're really in the midst of celebrating 250 years of national independence, I wanted to not only present the opportunity to praise God for what we have been blessed with in this country, but really, perhaps even more importantly, remind us of why God has blessed us in this country for 250 years now. Despite what many want to believe about the United States of America today, despite the way much of the world has turned against the United States of America today, despite the ungrateful attitude that many of our own citizens have toward the United States of America, despite the sins of our past, despite the corruption within our own government, despite the selfish and entitled pursuits of many of our own citizens, the United States of America is still the number one country that people want to come to. It is still the number one country that people do not want to leave. It is still the number one country in which dreams and goals can be realized. It is still the number one country in which freedom reigns. It is still the number one country in which human rights are protected. It is still the number one country in which the citizens have the power. It is still the number one country that other countries learn about in school. It is still the number one country that other countries come to for help. It is still the number one country whose government is mimicked by other countries. And we can praise God for that. We can praise God for that. Now, in the grand scheme of the nations of the world, the United States of America is just a baby, only 250 years old as compared to many that are thousands, or at least 1,000-plus years old. However, did you know that there are over 100 countries in the world right now that are mimicking our form of government? And some of them are the 1,000-plus-year-old countries. Did you know that the most prosperous countries in the world today are countries that have mimicked our form of government? Did you know that the freest countries in the world today have mimicked our government? Did you know that many of the countries who fought against us in war afterwards adopted our form of government? Did you know that the United States Constitution is the oldest codified constitution in the world? Did you know that the United States Constitution is the most mimicked constitution in the world? Did you know that English is the world trade language because of the United States of America? Did you know that this country has been the greatest catalyst of peace the world has ever known? Did you know that the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible was the primary source in drafting our Constitution and designing our form of government? Did you know that 34% of the quotes in the Constitution are directly from the Bible? Did you know that over 50% of the quotes in the Constitution have biblical language in them? Did you know that the Bible is the number one quoted source of all of the writings of our founding fathers? Did you know that 11 of the 13 original state constitutions prior to our national constitution required political candidates to be Protestant Christians in order to run for office? God has blessed this country. And this country has blessed the world now for 250 years. And we can praise God for that. However, it is not because a republic is the best form of government. It is not because we have a codified constitution. It's not because of our rights and freedoms. It's not because we have three branches of government. It's not because we have checks and balances within those branches. It's not because the people have the power. It's not because of democracy. In fact, democracy by itself can actually be dangerous. Democracy has destroyed nations. No, what makes this country significant is God. It is God. God will bless godly people. And when enough godly people exercise godly virtues, it can bless a nation. That's what happened here. That's what happened in America. That is why the United States of America became all of those things that I just listed above. That is why the United States of America has been a blessing to the world. And we can praise God for that. And while there are many virtues that we could talk about this morning concerning why God has blessed this country, I want to focus on four of them. Four virtues within the citizens, the majority of the citizens of this country that has made America a blessing to the world for 250 years. And sadly, as I list them, we will quickly understand that unless something dramatically changes in the hearts of the people of this nation, the USA, as it has been historically known, will end. So here are four godly virtues that God has blessed that made America the blessing it has been. The first one is, of course, faith in God. Faith in God. It was faith in God and the proclamation of Christ specifically that was the fervor of Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus is credited as being the initiator, really, of the Western movement. But he often wrote about his deep Christian faith, and he believed that his voyages were a part of a divine plan to spread the gospel of Christ to new lands. And it did. And it did. It was faith in God that brought the pilgrims to America. Here's part of the Mayflower Compact. It says, in the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our sovereign King James, by the grace of God, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. That's the Great Commission. That's exactly what Jesus desired us as His disciples to do in Matthew chapter 28. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you." It was faith in God and the proclamation of Christ that was the fervor of Christopher Columbus. It was faith in God that brought the pilgrims to America, and it was faith in God that established our independence. We, the people of the United States, hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The common denominator in all of these is faith in God. This is where it all began. This is the first thing that God blessed concerning the nation we're in right now. In Hebrews 11:6, we are told, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." This country is a reward from God. It's a reward from God. But without faith in God, without acknowledgement of God, without those who diligently seek Him, there should be no expectation of further reward. Faith in God is what made this country what it is for 250 years. Secondly, this morning, is obedience to God. Obedience to God. Now, let me just say that, and I'll explain what I'm saying after I say it, but I do not believe that the United States of America was designed to be a Christian nation, meaning that one must be a Christian to live here. I don't think that was the original design, but it was most definitely designed to be a nation governed by Christianity. That is biblical law, and most specifically the law of Christ. And obedience to that law is therefore a must if we expect God to continue to bless us. Here are just a few quotes from the founding fathers, a few of the founding fathers. John Adams: "The Bible contains the most profound philosophy, the most perfect morality, and the most refined policy that was ever conceived upon the earth." John Quincy Adams said, "The Bible is of all books in the world that which contributes most to make men good, wise, and happy." John Jay said, "Let us therefore persevere steadfastly in distributing the Scriptures far and near. We are assured that they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Thomas Jefferson said, "The doctrines of Jesus are simple and tend all to the happiness of man. Had the doctrines of Jesus been preached always as pure as they came from His lips, the whole civilized world would now have been Christian." Benjamin Rush: "The Bible contains more truth than any other book in the world." Benjamin Franklin said, "The moral and religious system which Jesus Christ transmitted to us is the best the world has ever seen or can see." And therefore, the governance of the United States is based squarely on Jesus Christ, based squarely on the laws of God and of Christ. Jeff read Psalm 1, and while this is speaking of the individual, if we have a group of individuals that are in pursuit of what Psalm 1 says, that group will be blessed. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That is a two-way promise from God to the individual and to a nation. A government and laws founded on the Word of God creates the ideal environment, specifically the ideal environment for people to come to know God. And obedience to the Bible is what made this country what it has been for 250 years. But it's hanging on by a thread. It's hanging on by a thread. Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, was recently heavily criticized by many for implying in a prayer that the Word of God is more authoritative than our Constitution. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. He got it exactly right. The Word of God is where we got our Constitution. Obedience to God is one of the reasons that God has been blessing us, but it's hanging on by a thread. Here's the third one. Third virtue is gratitude toward God. Gratitude toward God. Never in my life have I seen my peers in this nation less grateful than now. Here's what George Washington said. He said that one should feel the warmest gratitude towards the great author of the universe for the success of the American Revolution. He issued the first national Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789. He directed the American public to give thanks to Almighty God for protecting this country and its people. Abraham Lincoln formalized Thanksgiving as an annual holiday in 1863. He frequently asked citizens to thank God for his gracious favor in guiding the nation through some of its darkest times. Dwight D. Eisenhower said, "I earnestly recommend that, withdrawing themselves from secular cares and labors, the people of the United States meet together on that day, Thanksgiving Day, in their respective places of worship, there to give thanks and praise to Almighty God for his mercies and beseech their continuance." James 1:7 says, "Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Gratitude toward God. Gratitude toward God is why, since the founding of this country, a day of thanksgiving to God was established. Gratitude toward God is why almost every single president has acknowledged it and God's importance. Gratitude toward God is the reason this country has been blessed for 250 years, and it too is hanging on by a thread. We've become an ungrateful nation that thinks it deserves everything and anything. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Fourthly, this morning, is humility toward God. Humility toward God. Again, George Washington acknowledged his dependence upon heaven as the source of all public and private blessings. Franklin Pierce said it must be felt that there is no national security but in the nation's humble, acknowledged dependence upon God and His overruling providence. Abraham Lincoln again said it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God. Ronald Reagan said, if we forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. While I know that there have always been prideful people in the world, in our country, in our government, for pride and selfishness, really, it's the essence of sin. It is a worldwide, all-inclusive problem. While I understand that in my lifetime, there has been a national shift, a shift in the United States of America from humility to pride, a shift from dependency upon God to we got this. We don't need you anymore, God. A shift from a desire for God to we don't even want you anymore, God. We hate you, God. We reject you, God. A shift from humility to pride and arrogance. You see, by God's blessings, He made us the wealthiest, most charitable, and most mimicked country in the world, and now through this shift, here we are taking the credit for it. And this shift, while noticed mostly, I think it's been there a long time, but it's been blatantly out there for the past 20 years. This shift actually began about 70 years ago. Humility began to diminish shortly after World War II. In fact, that generation has been coined the greatest generation, the pinnacle, perhaps, of our nation. Well, Proverbs 16:18 tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We became a country where prayer to God was eliminated from our schools, where the Bible was condemned and today even mocked and ridiculed, where the Ten Commandments were despised, where God and His Word has been systematically removed from our culture, and worse yet, in some cases, twisted or reinterpreted into something that is just downright evil. Where our day of thanksgiving to God has been seen as the oppression and exploitation of people in the name of God. History being rewritten into a work of fiction because humility has turned into arrogance in our nation. After all the blessings that God has showered upon our country, today, God has become the enemy. Where our country was founded upon, all men are created equal with the right to pursue. Today, some people need not pursue and are rather forcefully funded by those who have pursued. Where a country was founded on humility, now we have a month in which we celebrate pride. God has been turned into the root of all evil. Evil has become good. Good has become evil. Professing to be wise, our nation has become a nation of fools. And the saddest part of all this is the rest of the world, just like they followed us into freedom, they're following us into the captivity of this evil. Right down that evil path, they continue to mimic us. Now, I know Jesus is speaking to a church in this next passage, but it sure fits this nation well right now. It says, because you say, I am rich. It's Revelation 3:17. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If we forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And I think Ronald Reagan spoke those words because he was seeing it. He was seeing it. Now, I didn't mean to be such a downer there. We are praising God for the 250 years that we've had. But that is a shift that I've seen in my lifetime. It's a shift that has been affecting policy since the end of World War II, and even many Christians have bought into that shift. My point being, repent. Repent. Turn this thing around. James 4:9-10 says, lament and mourn and weep. Let your, I'm adding this word, arrogant laughter be turned to mourning and your prideful joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a passage that is specific for the nation of Israel. We, the United States of America, as a nation, have no promise, no national promises from God. But in that passage, there is a principle, a virtue at work in that verse, because God does bless humility. Listen to it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their nation." While that is specific to Israel, the virtue of humility is at work there. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humility toward God is a reason that God has blessed this nation for 250 years. I thought about where to place this sermon. Do I do it after the 4th of July on July 5th? Do it before? And I decided to do it before because Janine said so. But really, I want us to have something to contemplate as we enter this week and approach this day. And so in closing here this morning, we might ask the question, you know, we've seen some really incredible things that God has done in this country. We've seen kind of where the shift has taken place. And so we might ask the question, if indeed faith in God is rewarded by God, if indeed obedience to God brings prosperity, if indeed gratitude toward God brings peace, and if indeed God exalts the humble, and if indeed we are a nation that has become the very opposite of all of those things, then why are we still around? Why are we still around? And I'll tell you, I have a theory. I have a theory, and I think not only does it incorporate the patience of God toward us, if perhaps we would repent as a nation. But here is my theory as to why perhaps our nation has not yet gone under, even with the degree or the degree of no gratitude, no faith, no obedience, okay? None of those things. Here's my theory. And it's two parts. The first is a covenant. A covenant. It's a promise from God. That's what a covenant is in short. You see, about the same time that things started to shift from humility to pride in this country, at right about the same time that we as a nation began to say, "I am rich, I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing," About that time that God could cut off the blessings to this nation because those virtues were gone. This was about the exact same time that we as a nation became a blessing to Israel. Israel had been stripped of their nationhood and land right after the fall of the Jewish temple in AD 70. They were without their land for 1900 years, but in 1948, just a little under 80 years ago, they were given their land again, and the United States of America was one of the major driving forces behind that. In fact, it was President Harry Truman that made the United States the very first country in the entire world to officially recognize Israel as a nation again. And here's the covenant. Here's the covenant. All the way back in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 12. And I'm talking about, in spite of the fact that these virtues that I've talked about today are diminishing and almost non-existent in our country, I think because of this covenant, God does continue to bless us. Here it is, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation.'" Of course, that nation and land would be Israel. And he says, "I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing to the world." And Jesus came through that. But then it says this, still part of the covenant, still part of the promise. "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." I believe that in spite of our shift into national arrogance, God has continued to bless the United States of America to a degree, because we are blessing, trying to be a blessing to his people Israel. It was a covenant. It was a covenant. Here's the second reason I think God has not ended us yet. The second is a remnant. A remnant. There is yet a remnant in this country that recognizes their complete and utter dependency upon God and Christ. There is a remnant that has faith in God, a remnant that desires to be obedient to God and His Word, a remnant that is yet grateful to God, and I'm looking at a portion of them right here. We're it. We're it. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the sins of man, the preaching of that message to our neighbor, to our family, to our political leaders, the preaching of that message, that is our only hope. It's our only hope. If we want to make it another 250 years. So, go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things Christ has commanded us. And he says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Father in heaven, we do thank you for the blessings that you have showered upon us here in this country. Father, I can't help but thinking about that. Even in the smallest thing of eating the food we eat, Father, you have blessed us so. You have blessed us so. And I pray, Lord God, for repentance in this nation. I pray, Lord God, for even repentance, well, I would say especially repentance in our own hearts. Lord, that we would perhaps examine ourselves and see if these virtues are present or not. And Lord God, that we would repent, that we would turn back to you. I do thank you, Lord God, for this upcoming week in which there are yet many that will be celebrating what you've done here in this country. I thank you for that, and I pray, Lord God, that we would reflect upon the things we've talked about this morning and give you thanks for them. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.